We thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed, inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. It is so good to be with you guys today. We missed you so very much last week as we were traveling. But God is good. Amen. God is good. You turn with your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. And the grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That first part of this verse is kind of a mouthful. And I wanted to give you my reinterpretation of that first. Okay, this is not gospel. This is just me trying to put it in a way that I could understand it. Since your souls are right with God or in right standing with God by staying true to God's truth through the Holy Spirit's work in you to be able to love the brethren purely. Keep loving each other passionately with a pure heart because you were saved not by works which is fallible, but by grace that is true, just as Jesus said he would do it. God did it all. Jesus did it all. He is pure. But the flip side of that, he begins by saying, since you have purified your souls. And that's what I want to talk about today, our souls today. And how to keep them pure. How do you purify your soul? Well, according to Paul, the three things he kind of highlights, or Peter, I'm sorry, things he highlights is obey the truth, love the brethren, and then you love with a pure heart. Purely unconditional, unadulterated love that comes from a pure heart. So, what is this truth that purifies my soul? You thought about that for a second. Because he says, since you have purified your soul, so he's assuming their souls have already been purified. What was it purified by? In obeying the truth, right? So your souls have been purified by obeying the truth. But what is this truth that purifies the soul? Well, the truth is the word of God. But we're going to get into a little deeper here. See, the soul, we've said this many times, is made up of your mind, will, and emotions, right? Your mind is the way you think, your perception, the way you think about things, not your physical brain. Your will is your drive, your motivation, your desire, the thing that gets you going, you know. Some of us have a stubborn will. And sometimes when it's aimed in the direction of Jesus, that stubbornness is really good. So our will is driven towards the things of God. And then our emotions are passions, the things that make us feel good, the things that we pursue that have an internal meaning to us. So the truth has to impact the way we think. So this truth that purifies the soul has to impact the way we think, has to impact our motivation and drive, and it has to impact our passion and feelings about life and about things of life. So it has to impact those things. But I want to talk about those three components of the soul, but I want to look at them with this scripture. He says, since you have purified your souls with the truth. And then he explains the truth is in obeying God's word. Let's look at the mind. The mind is the way we think, right? The way we think. We are called to have the mind of Christ. That's something that's one of our catchphrases here. The heart of God, the mind of Christ. We want to have the mind of Christ. We want to think as Christ thought. Who was Christ? Hello? Anyone out there? Who was Christ? What was Christ? He was the living Word. He is the living Word. He is the Word of God. Remember John 1? In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and so forth. He is the Word of God. So, since you have purified your soul by obeying the truth is the Word of God. Who is the truth? Jesus. So, when we think about our minds, it's about having the mind of Christ. Thinking as Christ thinks. The way we think has everything to do with the Word of God. And Jesus is the living Word of God. See, Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed into this world. Most of us know this verse, at least the first part. But be transformed by what? Renewing your mind, changing the way you think, you perceive, you look at things. Jesus looked at somebody on the street who might have been downtrodden, who might have been dirty, smelly, stinky, and saw what he could be or she could be wearing robes of righteousness with a crown on his or her head, looking all pretty in the eyes of God or handsome in the eyes of God. You and I would look at somebody and go, I'm going across the street. I don't want to go near that. The mind of Christ thinks this differently, not as the world thinks. See, by renewing, being transferred by the renewing of your mind, that what? You may prove what is that good and incorruptible and acceptable and perfect will of God. Since you have purified your souls by obeying the truth, what are we doing? We're proving the truth is the truth by the way we act based on the way we think. Are you with me so far? So the way I think proves true. I shared with you earlier. Holy Spirit said, be bold today. Natural mind yesterday for me would have been, I don't want to offend anybody, but I still want to honor God. The natural flesh says, be politically correct and use vague terminologies. And don't be so pushy. But the mind of Christ says, trust me, enter into that place, not defensively holding back, but offensively and aggressively pursuing the truth of God in that place, claiming it for the purpose of God. So the way I think, I bring a revelation to the Word of God. I make it come alive because I prove it right. You testified how fear is broken off. When we are walking in fear, we're denying the proof of the Word of God. We're basically doubting the reality of the Word of God in the way we think, because our minds are saying, I gotta protect myself from fear and in fear. But when my mind is renewed by the Word of God, it's transformed from that corruptible thing to that incorruptible thing, which is the truth of His word, there is no fear. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's what His word tells me. So I walk in that confidence, proving His word right, because the way I think, remember something, basic psychology 101 here. How, everything we feel begins with a thought. Everything. This is basic psychology 101 you learn in college. How you think will affect how you feel. How you feel will affect your perception. And your perception will affect your attitude. Your attitude will affect your behaviors. Think, feel, perception, attitude, behaviors. Renew your mind, the way you think, that part of your soul, because you've already purified it by the word of God that has come over you. And see, His word comes over us when we are opening our hearts to His truth, which is God's love sent His Son to redeem this heart and redeem this life, that I walk in His truth. And I walk in His victory, not mine, but I get to share in it. It's His victory. The word of God, what God says about things, has to be the standard. It may go against the world's standards and expectations, but that's okay. Because we don't live by that, do we? We live by the standards of God. And in order not to conform, you need to know why and what is the alternative, right? Well, the alternative is His word. Also need to know how not to conform. And God's word proves His word right all the time. Jesus, every day in our lives, proves Himself faithful and right. So when we stand on the word of God, the truth of God, our thoughts are not going all over the place, but they're thinking this. They're thinking, what did Jesus say? What would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus respond or react? Would Jesus cower and be afraid? Would Jesus be insecure? Or do we step into faith boldly like a wild lion, courageous and strong in the name of the Lord? So that's the mind part of our soul. And just a little further on in 1 Peter 2:8, it says, and this won't be up there, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. He's talking to Christians who knew the word but weren't standing on it enough to prove His word right, to let His word be proven right in their lives. So it becomes a stumbling block for those who don't, when you are disobedient. In other words, when I'm not standing on it. How does it become a stumbling block? It's simple. If my mind isn't focused on the truth of God, it's focused on everything else. My mind starts racing in 1,000 directions. I start dealing with the what ifs and the shoulda, coulda, woulda. Instead of, this is what God showed me. This is what God spoke to me. This is what His word says. I'm sticking with it. Let's look at the will. See, if the mind has everything to do with the mind of Christ, what do you think the will as the drive has to do with? The Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you something. John 16:13. He will tell you what He has heard from me, and He will let you know what it is. When the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes to you, He will guide you into all truth. In other words, He will show you the path on how to walk in this truth. The Holy Spirit directs our drive, our convictions. What do you think when He convicts our hearts? Whether it's unto salvation, all of a sudden, our drive about me, And I'll take care of me becomes I'm running towards Jesus. Just getting up off our seat involves a choice of will to be submitted to Jesus. And that comes from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. What we're seeing here with our soul is the Trinity at work. And we'll get to the heart of the Father in a second. But you've got the mind that is the mind of Christ, the revelation of Christ coming alive in our lives. We have the will, which is the Holy Spirit active and moving in our lives, opening our hearts to let Him minister to us. That's why it's important to take time to let Him minister to us. To be open, to say, here I am. I'm ready to do what you would have me do. When He prompts, we move. The challenge today for our prayer team was, get out of your comfort zone. See, God already ordained in heaven what was supposed to take place today. We may not have known it yet when we were praying at 10 o'clock, but God knew in His heart. He's already spoken it, declared it, established what He wants done in this place. And as I shared with the team, our job is to tune our radio to His frequency so we can bring it into revelation and manifestation so people can hear it, so to speak, today. And act upon it and move. As we hear, we move. We're not to be just hearers of the word. What are we also supposed to be? Doers of the word. In other words, Holy Spirit speaks, I'm driven to do it. I recognize it. I know it's Him. I drive. I move. I submit my will to His will, even when I say, but I'm uncomfortable. Sorry, I'm going to do it and be obedient. Because this is where my heart is. I'm moving as the Holy Spirit moves me. I'm moving as He moves me. He shows us how to maneuver through, to understand the truth. He gives purpose to us and internal motivation to what we know and what we do, what is revealed. Tuning in, that's the hardest thing sometimes. Most of us will talk about the love of God. Most of us will easily talk about being saved and Jesus saving our sins, and we can talk ad nauseum about that. But how many of us are challenging ourselves to humble ourselves, to listen, and get to that place to let the Holy Spirit minister to us and work through us and be obedient to it? It's scary sometimes in the flesh. But again, that's why the soul works in unison. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work as one. They are unity personified. One passion, one motivation, one truth, but it's all coming with their unity. A healthy soul is a soul where the mind, the will, and the emotions are working together, are all moving the same way. A deficient soul, a soul that is lacking, a soul that is hurting, is one where there is a clash, where your mind might know the truth, and your passion, your emotion wants to do the truth, but your will is struggling with fear or insecurity, so you don't press into it. You make excuses instead. It can work any way, and Wounded No More talked a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago. I encourage you to listen to their message, but a unified soul is a powerful, powerful weapon for the kingdom of God. But it also creates a whole person. We are not whole if our souls are not right, if our mind, our will, and our emotions are not in sync with the mind of Christ, the heart of God, and the Spirit moving within us. We begin to lack if we don't. And one thing the Holy Spirit's been showing and bringing out a lot lately is when we are in one accord, whether we as a body, whether me internally, my mind, will, and emotions, whether me unified with the presence of God in my life, there is nothing more powerful. Everything great happens, not good, great happens when there is unity, when there is one accordness. As a church, when we're in one accord, we will move mountains and have. As an individual, when I am in one accord with these things within me, means I'm tuned into God's frequency all the way, great things are going to happen through it all. Just like what happened yesterday, just like many of you have testified today, great things happen when we are in one accord. Deeper understanding creates a sense of purpose. Mind of Christ leads to deeper understanding. See behind the flesh. And recognition of purpose produces motivation and drive to press into it. Let me say that again. Deeper understanding creates purpose. The word, the truth, leads us to understanding of the mind of Christ. And that purpose, that recognition of purpose, produces the motivation that we need to press into something, to go in that direction and press hard. That's what Jesus did, and we're to be like Jesus, right? Get out of ourselves and get into Him. That's exactly what He did. Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death. Okay, why? Because it's not in truth. It's not a purified soul. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Think about that. I am at peace when my mind, will, and emotions are in sync with mind of Christ, heart of God, and the Spirit of truth in me. It's a powerful, powerful thing. I am at peace because what I do, I'm operating from that place of rest in God. I am resting because I know what I do is anointed by God. Who I am is anointed and touched by God. Because how I move, I'm moving in His ways. Now, am I going to always be perfect? No. But you know what? When I do it His way, He'll work through it. He'll work through it. And He'll show me when I'm not perfect, and I can try to clean up that mess however I need to clean it up in His strength, whether it's little or might be bigger, but I'm trusting in Him. But I'm at peace because I am seeking Him. I am pursuing Him. I'm chasing Him in these things. And I'm trusting His word and His Spirit flowing through me. You're at peace when you have clear purpose to your motivation. His word is the word of life. And confidence when doing it God's way is based on His facts and standard. If I have clear instructions, I'm going to be confident to do it the right way. When I have a piece of paper that's, you know, written in Filipino or language I don't understand, I have no confidence in doing it. I'm trusting my flesh, my own mind. And that's a hit or miss thing. Versus trusting His word and His ability to lead me through His truth. So that's the will. That's the Holy Spirit of God in me. His Spirit in me. And then my emotions. My emotions. My mind, my will, and my emotions. My emotions are based on the heart of God. Did you know God is an emotional being? How many times do we read in Scripture, God was angry at this, or God's heart felt this way towards that, or His love? But see, I want you to see the Trinity at work here. The perfect unity here. It is the heart of God. What is the heart of God? What is one word that describes the heart of God? One word, Four-letter word, starts with an L. Love. God is love. Can it get any more clear than that, you know? John 1:1-8, or 1 John 1:8. He who does not love does not know God. God is love. So if God is love, what is the base foundation that God operates on from an emotional standpoint? What is the very core, the very foundation that everything God does things in? Love. You can answer me back today. It's okay. It's okay. You're not going to be wrong. And if you are, I'll just ignore you. It's love. Everything God does emotionally is based out of His love for us. Everything. That's His standard. The heart of God is love. Motivation for everything He does, did, and will do is what?
Love.
It's love. Thank you. The passion to do what He does is because of His
love.
Thank you. His love drove Him to send Jesus to the cross, right? John 3:16, you know this verse. For God so, thank you. It's His love. So when our mind has the mind of Christ and our drive, our purpose is being led by the Holy Spirit and our heart is filled with the love of God, that what we do is grounded in love, that how I respond to anyone or anything is based on the love of the Father in me first, knowing how loved I am by Him. Therefore, I can love others in His love. I can overcome my judgmental attitude. Remember, thoughts lead to emotions, lead to perception, lead to attitude, lead to behaviors. When my actions are grounded in that love, that I am loved and who I am is not based on what I do, but whose I am as a son of the living King, co-heir with Christ. That's my mantle. That's who I am today. And it's all because of His love to adopt me into His family. That's where my power, my authority comes from. And when that becomes my foundation in sync with the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit's will working through me, everything changes. Everything can happen exactly the way God wants it to be. That's where the purified soul comes from. Jesus had a purified soul. Our goal is to strive to have a purified soul. And if we go back to 1 Peter, what does he say? Your soul is purified. Why? Because you obeyed the truth through the Spirit in what? Sincere love of the brethren and love for one another fervently with what? A pure heart. I cannot love one person fervently and passionately and hate another and still have a pure heart. That's impossible. I can't. For me to have a pure heart, I love everyone equally because I am loving with the heart of love, heart of God, who is love Himself. So think about how Jesus lived every day. Every sinner He ran into, the most foul of human beings, He saw them differently. He thought about them differently. He felt for them differently. He didn't cross the street, but went to have dinner at their house and loved on them in their own house. Even us, God the Father, how much vile things have some of us done in our lives to make any human being want to detest us if they knew the depth of the core of our skeletons. Yet God, who knows every single one of them, including ones we forgot, still loves us and is calling us home, calling us into His arms. A purified soul has that. John 3, His love sought to redeem Israel from the beginning. How many times did they disobey? And God himself said, when will you guys learn? His love is even now doing everything he can to restore mine and your identity in him. Right now, today, every step we take, everything we do, his love is drawing us closer and trying to reveal to us clearer who we are in him, where our identity rests in. The core of his emotion is love. It's his foundation. Ephesians 2, 4, 5 says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of what? The great, hello? Great love with which he, you guys can do that better, which he, us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. His love. Let's look at 1 John 4, 9 through 11. In this, by the love of God was made manifest among us. His love came alive in the form of Jesus. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is, thank you, you beat me to it. Not that we have God, but that he and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved means ones loved by God. If God so, us, we also ought to love one another. That's right. The soul of God is his mind, his will, and his emotions. They work in perfect harmony. We are created in his image and are meant to have a soul in his image, a mind that thinks as Christ thought, a will that moves as the Holy Spirit moves, and a heart that feels and responds with the emotions that God has, to care for the things that God cares for, to embrace the things he embraced. That's what we're meant to have. So when Peter says, since you have purified your souls, that means his love, his blood, his truth, his heart, his spirit is overwhelming us. And we are moving in those things. We've submitted ourselves. We made the conscious choice that I will renew my mind by the word of God. Let it be transformed. I will not think the way I used to think. And when those thoughts try to creep in, I'm going to stand on what the Bible says about me and this situation. I'm going to just start declaring his word over my life. And when I'm in a position where fear, insecurity, doubt is creeping in, I'm going to ask Holy Spirit, come and fill me with the power that same spirit that led Christ to the cross and that same spirit that raised him from the dead. Come fill me up that I will move in that direction, in that way. And I do it all out of love, not out of selfishness. Because God, Father, Dad, you care about me more than I care about myself. And you take care of me better than I can ever take care of myself. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, in obeying his truth, that is his truth. Today, the challenge for us, our job, is to get ourselves to that place where we submit to that. Some of us are going to pray today, and just like that, our minds are going to be renewed by the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit just come overwhelming us, and our hearts are going to feel compassion and tenderness in ways that we've never felt before. Some of us, it's going to take a little bit longer, and what we need to do is consciously submit every area to God. Make that choice that my will be submitted. I won't walk in fear anymore, but in the power of God. I won't let this thought come in anymore. I'm going to stand on this thought instead. I'm not going to feel this way towards somebody who treats me like dirt. I'm going to love them this way. For some of us, it's going to be a conscious choice. But we begin by submitting our will to God, submitting ourselves to God, so that in His strength we are able to make those choices. Would you just close your eyes with me right now? We're going to take communion in a second together as a recommitment, a rededication of those things. I'm going to ask Jacob if you can come on up. Yeah, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Just minister to us right now. As a body, we just repent right now as a body for not having the mind of Christ, not having the heart of God, not allowing you, Holy Spirit, to have freedom within us. We repent, we change our minds in the way we think, feel, and move. And we submit ourselves to you right now as a church and as individuals. That we say we are yours. We will act as sons and daughters to our Father. We will be splitting image of our dad. We will seek to be just like you. Why don't you just take a few moments and let the Holy Spirit work on some things right now. Then in just a few minutes, I'll have our ushers come on up and we will take communion. Hold on to the elements and we will just take it together.